This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. It might be hard to believe, but the fatal mass shooting at Milwaukee's Molson Coors Brewery happened just 3 months ago. The shooting killed six people, including the shooter. Unfortunately, this kind of tragedy wasn't new to Milwaukee. Gun violence is an issue that has continued to plague the city. But how we remember these mass shootings and memorialize them is unique to each of these incidents. Journalist Adam Rogan wrote about how we do and don't memorialize these sites in a piece featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. He joins me from his home. Adam, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Glad to be here.
So, some of the more infamous shootings, like the mass murder at the Sikh temple, have had a really lasting impact on our collective memory. But what are some of the mass shootings that have happened here in the Milwaukee area that we may have forgotten about?
I think now that we're looking back, it's been almost 8 years since the Sikh temple shooting. Is that shooting stood out so vividly in our minds because partially because they got national media attention. It was on CNN either that night or the next morning. Anderson Cooper was here. And so it got all that attention, and it was, I think, partially just because of its origin as a hate crime and being this minority community that Oak Creek really rallied around. But there's some other shootings that kind of went by the wayside. The deadliest mass shooting in Wisconsin history wasn't even that one. It was on March 12th, 2005 at a Sheraton Hotel, or what's now a Sheraton Hotel in Brookfield, where seven people, eight if you include the shooter, died. And that was a deadly shooting, but it was one that was... It didn't get this huge national attention. They never really figured out the motive. It was somebody who had some mental illness problems, who was a member of a church that was celebrating at that hotel. They were in one of the conference areas. And it was the deadliest mass shooting in Wisconsin history. And I didn't know about it until just a couple months ago when I started working on a story for this. And it kind of shows just how quickly we can move on. There was one that I remember, because it was only a couple months after the Oak Creek Sikh temple shooting, was at Azana Salon and Spa, which is actually not far from the Brookfield Hotel where the shooting was in 05, where three people and the shooter all died. And that one's a little more remembered because the people at that spa wanted to remember their coworkers, and so that lasted. And the Molson Coors shooting, obviously, is a unique scenario in that it was only a few months ago, but I don't remember the last time I even talked about it because I think because coronavirus happened, and so we all just kind of moved on from it, at least for the time being.
Yeah. A big part of what your piece looks at, of course, is how these sites look today, essentially, whether or not people have created memorials to what happened. So when you look at these different sites around the Milwaukee area, what are the different ways that they've chosen to remember what happened or not?
So, for example, with the Sikh temple shooting, there's a memorial inside the library at the temple with just photos to each of those who died from it. I'm just really remembering who they were, especially since a lot of them were really instrumental to that temple and that community. At least one of them, if not two, I believe two of them were priests in the temple. So obviously they want to kind of remember these kind of founding father figures for them. At the Azana Salon, there's a inside one of the three people who died. Their workstation was turned into kind of a memorial, and it's still there. If you went there for just a normal spa day or getting a haircut or something, you might not notice it because it's not like super present. But it's still there. I think mainly for the owner and for the coworkers to remember the lives that were lost. But then if you go to the Sheraton Hotel, there's nothing there. It's interesting that it's the site of the deadliest shooting in the history of our state. And it's just a normal hotel. I went there, I think it was in March, and inside one of the conference rooms where the shootings happened, there was a conference going on, just like it was a normal day. And it made this really interesting moment of something really significant happened here. Quite a few lives were lost, but moved on. With Molson Coors, within a week or two, the facility was back up and running. When I was working on the story, the Molson didn't really know what they were going to do at the plant long term, because obviously it was still pretty fresh. And there were, of course, in the whole neighborhood, there were, balloons and flower memorials and stuff like that. But in terms of permanent remembrances for it, there wasn't really anything yet, at least.
Yeah. Well, and it's still relatively new. It only happened in late February. When you've talked to people at these different sites, what has been the rationale for either memorializing these spaces or not memorializing them, keeping what happened there kind of under wraps?
It's, I'm not sure if under wraps is the right word for it, but it's this interesting kind of, this dichotomy of, do you want to be able to move on, which of course we all want to do, or do you want to, it's a question about what is the right way to move on, I think is a better way to put it on my part. But when you talk about trying to move on, it's a question of, do you need to have this permanent remembrance of lives that were lost, or is it better to remember what happened to yourself and go and move on? It's tough to know. One of the people I talked to for this story was Erica Doss. She's a professor from the University of Notre Dame. She, by chance, grew up in Wisconsin. And she wrote this really interesting book called Memorial Mania, Public Feeling in America. And it's about kind of a critical look at how Americans tend to remember tragedy, looking at everything from, you know, a roadside memorial with a cross and flowers and something like that for somebody died in a car accident or a shooting, for example, or these really big parks or massive monuments like the ones that you can see at Columbine or at the site of the Oklahoma City bombing. And her argument was that is that these monuments don't necessarily achieve anything. She made a point, it's important to remember these tragedies, whatever they are, but that putting a lot of money and effort and consternation into a building or a park doesn't necessarily bring a public good. She argued that we should be having more policy changes or have memorials actually mean something. One thing that an idea she really was a proponent of was scholarships for affected families, which is something that happened in Molson Coors. And that's kind of what might not be their memorial. They raised, I believe, $2 million for the families of the deceased to basically help them through this pretty horrible time. That's something that she was supportive of, is what you could call an expert in that world.
So has anything changed in the time since these mass shootings? You know, you talked about policy. Has anything changed to make these events less likely to happen in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, to my knowledge, the rules obviously surrounding guns are tough to change, but there are certainly, I think the one thing that, you know, well, I think it's fair to say a very divided political climate. Both sides very much agree that more money is going to mental health, and more money has been going into mental health over the past couple of decades in Wisconsin and nationwide. And mental health has clearly played a role in all four shootings I looked at, one being a hate crime, one being someone with documented mental illness problems, and somebody who's a disgruntled ex who obviously went too far, and these showing signs of very clear mental illness problems. And that's something that a lot of the focus has been on, and there's been more money and more attention put there. When it comes to guns, obviously, I think it's fair to say not a ton has changed. That's something that Erica Doss called for. Of course, plenty of others say that the issue isn't guns. It's people with mental illness problems that lead to these attacks, and that needs more addressed. But really, the literal change that at least Erica Doss, Professor Doss, was looking for hasn't really happened yet, certainly since she wrote the book or in the few months since Molson Coors.
When you say there's more money going toward mental health, have we seen more mental health facilities? Have we seen more care in schools? Have we seen more care in the workplace? What has that actually looked like?
From what I've learned and gathered and, of course, studied in my work, I found that in the last couple of decades, especially since I was in school, that a lot more schools are putting more money into actually having staff psychologists. Of course, there's massive shortages of that everywhere, especially in Wisconsin. And in Milwaukee, we need more people to be willing to do that and to go into it's a field that needs more professionals. Perhaps because we haven't put the emphasis on it that it may be needed. In terms of facilities, there hasn't been a lot of growth. I think it's been something that I know that Governor Evers and in Republican leadership actually agree on. So maybe when we get out of this coronavirus thing, it'll be something that we might see focus on again. But it's something that perhaps I misspoke earlier, that we haven't seen massive change yet, but it's been something that's at least being talked about and something that we could start seeing with more people being willing to open up about mental illness rather than keeping it down. And that can lead to more people seeking help rather than perhaps going down a dark path. It can lead to some pretty bad places.
So it seems like there's been a lot of lip service, at least on the part of politicians, but maybe not a lot of action.
We haven't seen a massive world of change, at least in the past few years. I think that the thing that will start creating that change will be not only pressure by politicians, but also, you know, on a local level in terms of just having more people go into these fields. And it's, I'm not sure how many 15-year-olds or 16-year-olds thinking about college are thinking, yeah, I want to be a school psychologist. It's not something that's talked about a ton. And perhaps it should be as a really important career field that has benefited a lot of people, and myself included, in that the having people who are able to help and willing to help and realizing the importance of professional support systems and how they can really benefit you in your day-to-day life is something that we haven't, that at least in Wisconsin, is not part of our normal day-to-day life, and something that I think could really benefit if we had more help. And I know that's a very broad and vague answer, but more help, especially from people who are trained psychologists and have doctorates in these things that I certainly don't, would be beneficial to all of us, regardless of how extreme our issues might be.
Yeah. All right. Well, Adam Rogan, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
So glad to do it. Thank you so much for having me, Joy.
Adam Rogan is a local journalist whose work was featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine.